And yes, as I mentioned, Pope Benedict XVI is resting just briefly at his residence in Castel Gandolfo, a much-needed rest, as he's scheduled to journey to the Mediterranean island of Malta this coming weekend to commemorate the 1950th anniversary of St. Paul's shipwreck there. The trip will give the Pope a chance to highlight, once again, the figure of St. Paul, who, according to tradition, was shipwrecked on Malta in the year 60 AD, whilst on his way to Rome to stand trial. You may remember that Pope Benedict presided over a special jubilee year for St. Paul in 2008-2009, to underline the saint as a model of missionary energy in the Church. My colleague Emma McCarthy, who works on the news desk, will be travelling to Malta with the Pope, so we'll be hearing a lot from her in the coming days. Meanwhile, today she spoke to historian Monsignor John Azzopardi, a canon of the Collegiate Church of St. Paul's in Rabat, curator of the museum there, as well as papal prelate.
The perfect person to speak to us about one of the central and focal points of this upcoming visit of Pope Benedict XVI.
Yes.
The Grotto of St. Paul, where it all began, where the evangelization of the Maltese people began. Can you describe the grotto for our radio listeners?
Yes. St. Paul's Grotto is an underground church in a cave. And it is located exactly outside the walls of the old Roman city of Malta, which was called, like the whole island itself, Melite. We know that in Roman times, when St. Paul came to Malta, the city, the urban city of Malta, was much bigger than the present Medina. The city was reduced by the Byzantines and later by the Arabs for reasons of security and so on. But the old city extended up to here, and it was surrounded by a ditch. So that was within the walls. St. Paul's Grotto is just outside the walls of the old Roman city.
The grotto, Monsignor Azzopardi explains, is an underground cave in a catechumenal area.
Because in the city, in ancient civilizations, you would not bury. But outside the city, it is all a burial area, a catacombal area, and there are many caves.
And what, Ima asked, is the story?
When St. Paul, who was a Roman citizen, came to Malta because he was shipwrecked in AD 60. It was not the intention of St. Paul to come to Malta, but to go straight to Rome to be judged by Caesar, as he had the right as a Roman citizen. But the shipwreck prevented that, and God's providence prevented. I mean, he's going directly to Rome, and he had to stay in Malta for 3 months when the seas were closed. Now, of course, he was a Roman citizen, and he was not condemned, but simply arrested, that is, protected by a Roman soldier all the time, so that he would appear before Caesar, would not flee. But the circumstances happened that way. So, tradition tells us that out of his prudence, we were under Roman rule in the time of Nero. So, I mean, there was not yet the peace of Constantine for Christianity. Tradition says that for prudent reasons, Paul and Luke formed the first Christian community of Malta outside the walls of the city, not within the walls, and in this cave. Of course, he didn't stay all those 3 months. He had some freedom, always accompanied by a Roman soldier. But he used that place as the basis of the first Christian community of Malta, where, of course, he instructed, he preached, because he was the apostle of the word of God, but he also celebrated the Eucharist and formed the first Christians of Malta.
And from there, from that very simple and providential, as you point out, origins, the Catholic Church, the Christian faith, became the living faith of the Maltese people.
Yes, that is again tradition. But the Maltese are very staunch supporters of the Catholic faith, at least 90% of them. In fact, we are the only people evangelized by Paul who have the privilege and the honor to call Paul our father. We don't say Saint Paul the Apostle, but we say Saint Paul our Father. And this is also found in all the inscriptions we have in the Cathedral of Malta and the Cathedral of Gozo, in the grotto itself. We say Paul the Apostle of the Gentiles and the Father of the Maltese.
He is, of course, the father of the Maltese, the patron saint of the island.
Yes.
You're marking the 1,950th anniversary this year of his shipwreck, his providential shipwreck. This is one of the reasons why Pope Benedict is traveling to the people of Malta.
In fact, it has coincided happily with this anniversary, and the requests were made for it, the 1,950th anniversary. And in his brief visit, short visit to Malta, he will be sleeping here for one night, but practically coming for a day or a bit more a day, arriving on Saturday in the evening, in the afternoon after 5, and leaving on Sunday around about the same time or a bit later. I mean, it's only a little more than 24 hours with a night in between. But he insisted that he should visit a Pauline sanctuary, at least one. And what dearer and what more Pauline than the grotto of St. Paul, where, according to tradition, St. Paul founded the first Christian community of Malta. So he will come there just to pray.
In fact, in the background, we can hear a lot of work going on.
Yes,
how are preparations going?
You're hearing that on the phone, because they are preparing, you know, a huge platform for the Pope to address the people, and another platform for the choir to sing. And we have a famous small antiphon, which was composed by the first and the only Maltese canonized saint, Saint George Prieca. Salve Papa Noster, Salve Petra Fidei, Salve Celi Janitor, Ad Dominus Tecum. That is a composition by Saint George Prieca, which was first sung to Pope John Paul II when he was here in 201, when he came to beatify the Maltese saints. And we remember Pope John Paul was very much astonished to have it repeated 3 times for him. And this again will be sung to the Pope when he is here.
From your voice, I think our listeners can tell that there is a great level of excitement in Malta ahead of this trip.
There is great excitement because the Pope is loved by everybody. And of course, he will be having the occasion, you know, to visit a bit Malta, to address the youth, because there are only 3. There are after the formal, you know, presentation to the president and to the prime minister and so on. But then the only 3 appointments are, one, a meeting of prayer and address to the Maltese at the grotto, where also the bishop will formally salute him in the name of the diocese, and he will reply. Then the other meeting is the big mass on the Floriana Granaries, where hopefully there will be a vast majority of the population of Malta. And in the afternoon, he will be having a trip in the Grand Harbor of Malta, just for a very brief time, and then he will address the young people of Malta. And every effort is being made by the church, by the local church, which has been programming very well, to attract the young people of Malta, even those who in the modern circumstances may not have, support and that strong conviction of the faith as the elders. So the church is telling them, don't be afraid to discuss, don't be afraid to go deeper into your faith, to discuss the basis of our Christian inheritance of Malta, and come to the Pope's visit.
Now, you brought it up, so I'm going to ask the question. 1,950 years after St. Paul's shipwreck and his founding of the Maltese Church, how difficult is it to preach the good news to today's generation?
Of course, St. Paul evangelized. And when he came to Malta, it was his first experience evangelizing not a Greek or Roman community, as he had been doing all his time, but also a Phoenician community. Because although Malta was under the Romans, but Phoenicia, we were first under the Phoenicians. Our language is still basically Semitic. So St. Paul had the privilege to evangelize in a new fashion, so to say, to the people of Malta. And of course, today, our religious language and so on and meaning has to have a more modern, so to say, approach. And I am convinced that the Pope, with his theology, but with his intelligence, with his insight, can do a lot of good for us to present the faith in a language that can be understood. This Pope has the capability of being a great theologian, but expressing himself in words that everybody can understand.
Reverend Dadzo Pardi, to those of our listeners who are listening to this interview and think, oh, I would like to go and visit Malta, you know, it's a great tourist destination for many people, would you like to recommend them perhaps a spiritual itinerary that they could undertake while visiting your beautiful island?
Yes, actually, yes. I mean, at the moment, we have been organizing a lot of things of Pauline interest. Recently, the Prime Minister has organized a very big exhibition presenting St. Paul as a symbol not only of our religion, our faith, but also of our cultural and national identity. St. Paul has become a part of our Maltese cultural and national identity. And then we have the Cathedral at Mdina, which is dedicated to St. Paul. It was first mentioned in 1299. We have the Grotto of St. Paul. We have several parishes of St. Paul. Then St. John's in Valletta, which was the Church of the Knights, is not dedicated to St. Paul, but there is an altar of St. Paul with paintings by Matteo Preti. Nobody can fail to come to Malta without visiting St. John's with the two Caravaggio pictures and the masterpiece of Caravaggio, the Beckaling. But then, I mean, everything in Malta, I mean, there is a spiritual itinerary practically in all the villages and in all the churches. You find statues of St. Paul along the streets of Malta, niches of St. Paul, even sometimes statues in the corners. And of course, then, if one were to visit Gozo as well, because Gozo is very near to Malta, it's only 25 minutes by sea, there is, of course, the church, the National Sanctuary of Tapino, dedicated to the Madonna. In Malta, there is a great devotion also to the Madonna. In fact, the Pope is not going to Gozo, but giving a golden rose, which is a papal honor, to the Bishop of Gozo to present it and to put it in place on this very devout icon of the Madonna.
That was historian Monsignor John Azzopardi, a canon of the Collegiate Church of St. Paul's in Rabat, curator of the museum there, as well as papal prelate. Of course, we will have much more on Malta and on the Pope's upcoming trip in all of our programmes, so do keep tuning in for more every day.